Welcome to Wednesday Comics. To my left, AP18 himself. Alex, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing well.
To my right, G-Dub himself. Garrett, how you doing?
Doing good.
Wednesday Comics Podcast. My name is Marvin, here to talk about comic books and comic book culture. And the first thing we're going to talk about is not either one of those things. Actually, he was in a comic book that was actually a local comic book. We're talking about a local legend, Giggle Beast, Mr. Wilbur. If you grew up in this area, you know who he is. I was going to tell you that one time, I think it was in second or first grade, he came to our school assembly, which blew my fucking mind. I was like, this motherfucker came here?
He biked the whole way.
And there was a segment where somebody from the audience got the opportunity to go up there and like hug him. And when she did, his fucking head fell off. And it just like hung by some cords, then they quickly like rolled it back into this office that was in the gym and like closed the shades and got it all fixed, and then he came back out. But I think that honestly, it sounds like I'm the dumbest kid alive, but I think that's honestly when I realized I was a robot and not an actual fucking thing. Because I grew up watching Muppets and Sesame Street and stuff like that. So, like, seeing that, I was like, of course this motherfucker's alive.
What grade were you in?
First or second?
Damn. Did all the kids just start screaming?
I think we were all... I don't remember any screaming. I think we were all just were confused.
Where does head go?
Yeah.
And they did a good job about bringing him back to the office fast, yeah. So, the only person probably scarred from that... Actually, I still remember it, so in a way, it is a scar on me. But the only person really scarred was that girl that hugged him. So
I killed him.
She hasn't. I got reports that she hasn't hugged up 7 years since. So it's been a lonely 37 years for her. 36 maybe.
Well, last time I hugged someone, the head fell off.
Wait, Marvin. Yes. How long ago was the? Did you see this?
Oh summer? Wait. Okay, they weren't born, and then
holy shit, Marvin.
30 years ago. There you go. That sounds better.
I was like, man, that's a Garrett joke that you just bricked.
I know. I didn't even have to do it.
She jumped right out and hugged him. That's why his fucking head fell off. The force of it. She came out like fucking E Honda in Street Fighter.
I was thinking Zangief, the big old bear hug. It went to go twirl him.
Oh, no, she first torpedoed out. Yeah, and then she hugged at the same time. So. Wednesday Comics Podcast. I wanted to bring this up here as one of our first segments. And there was a news story that I was reading about they're restarting the Ultimate Universe comic line. And they're starting with this Ultimate Invasion. I don't know if you guys have read it.
I'm reading it currently.
You are? Okay. What do you say, Alex? You are?
I have it. I haven't read it yet. I've been reading Amazing Spider-Man right now.
Let me throw this out there and see if you agree, Garrett, at least from the first issue, because I just started reading it. I bought it a while ago, and I just keep forgetting to read it, because I've been reading other stuff. But, one, I like the premise of it, and I like the plot of that first issue, but it feels like a lot of the dialogue, it doesn't feel like Jonathan Hickman, really, to me.
Yeah, I mean... So I've read the first, I believe three issues have come out.
Yeah.
And I will say, this might not be a good thing for you guys. The first issue, I think, is the best of the three so far. Right. I mean, it's because I will say, instead of having like 10 diagrams an issue, it's like one.
That is true. And I wonder how much it is having Brian Hitch as the artist. Why? No, because those scenes he does himself. Jonathan Hickman designs those pages himself when he has like a schematic like that. But there's like Brian Hitch is not the super best. There's actually a scene where Black Panther's holding a tablet, and it does not look like that whatsoever. It looks so like not at the right angle or perspective or anything. And at first I was like, is that the fucking tablet still, or is that something else? And then it switches to another angle, and you can see it is the tablet. And I was like, I don't know, there are little things like that. And then I sent you guys that screenshot of Black Panther's eyes. There's a little shit like that. I was just like, I don't know. That's Brian Hitch to me. It's like, if you don't look too closely, you go, oh, this is pretty good. And then if you start looking at details, then you're like, what the fuck is this? I thought it was okay, but the article I was reading, the reason why I wanted to bring it up is that originally I saw that the Ultimate Universe was going to be relaunched by somebody else and not Jonathan Hickman. Jonathan Hickman was actually the person to pick it up after this person couldn't do it anymore. And it was Donny Cates was going to do it. And then he got in that car accident. And so yeah. Jonathan Hickman got put on it. He didn't want to, Jonathan Hickman, I don't think he planned how this thing's going to go. Even though he's using a lot of the characters that he normally would, it almost seems like this is more of like, was in place already and he's jumping on to like kind of put, but it sounds like though, but once this Ultimate Invasion is done and they relaunch the upcoming Ultimate Universe, now he wants to be involved. So it kind of like sparks something for him to want to help out. And he did do Ultimate books in the past. Like he did that Ultimate Thor book, a long time ago, but, I see that they're thinking about, well, you don't like a guy talking about a world tree for 3 issues.
Well, also having, this sounds like a Green Lantern movie where there's 20 writers on script. Like, what the hell?
They wouldn't have, I mean, I get, they didn't want to wait for Donny Cates to heal, but they want to make sure that he's at full strength, but why wouldn't you just hold off? If Donny Cates had the plan for it, once he's back.
I think they realized, because the only two characters that are still alive from that universe is Miles Morales and the Maker, which spoilers, they're like the crux of this story about going back to the Ultimate Universe. And I think that they realized that having Miles in the 616 makes him not important at all, because what made him important in the other one was that they didn't have a Spider-Man and he was their Spider-Man. And now he comes to this universe where there are multiple Spider-Men and they just don't know what to do with him. Like, they can't even figure out what to call him. Like, they keep changing his name, even on things that aren't directly from the comics, but like related. You could get 5 Spider-Man toys and watch the shows, and each 5 of them in the show will call him a different thing. Kid Arachnad, Spin, like, and obviously they can't just call him Miles, because then they'll be like, hey, that's his name. He needs a secret identity. So I think they realized that he needs to be Ultimate Spider-Man.
Well, I think that's a cool idea, but God, bringing back the entire Ultimate Universe, like, it was such a messy transition, pulling all the characters into the 616. Like, putting them back is just going to be clunky, I feel.
But you know, the way, it doesn't have to be clunky. If you can make it be an extra existential piece that just pulls them back, and obviously I imagine the Maker is part of the reason why they're going to go back. He's like, I hate this. There's a good read here, and he makes me mad, so I'm going to go away. That'd be fine. I'm concerned they're going to get too much in their head and make it have to be unbelievable, which I realize is, like, me coming out of the West Wing, I'm not definitely not the president. Why am I telling you to not be so literal? But sometimes you just got to let shit be cool or shit be easy. That's what you do. You turn a switch, boom, you're back in the Ultimate World. They're great.
Oh. Huh. It just sounds to me like another excuse for Marvel to sell twice as many books.
That's what I'm saying. Well, there's more money coming in their door.
Yeah.
But I haven't read much Ultimate. All I ever read was that little bit of Ultimate Spider-Man. So to get a whole new Ultimate World would be pretty cool.
I think he kind of hints at that he might be writing Ultimate Spider-Man Hickman. So I know that was something that he always got asked to do in the 616 was write Spider-Man, and then he started writing X-Men. So it might be something that we see him do in that universe. So I don't know if he's the best guy for that, like a Miles Morales story is not bad for us for that kind of stuff. Like a Donny Cates would have been good at that. I mean that's what you do, but
yeah, I think Jonathan Hickman would be a miss. I can't lie that guy can't finish a storyline to save his fucking life right now. Like, that X-Men storyline's never going to be, whatever his opus was, is never going to happen. It's just going to be interpretations of what it was, and eventually it'll be rebooted down the line.
I got to wonder if he gets distracted, or if he just decides, you know what, I started it up, let's other people handle it from here. But, I mean, some of those other books that he has put out, Black Monday Murder, thing that he hasn't even finished yet. I'm like, when are we going to get to those? It's already been
never.
2 years. We're going to have the same thing we had when Shield finally came out, and it was 7 years after the book had already been pre-written. He's like, oh, I guess I can finish it. Here's this big old issue for you.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think having diagrams, like, how do you bring diagrams and shit into a Miles Morales Spider-Man book? I would be bored out of my fucking mind. Bad idea. God, I hope Donny Cates is doing it, not him.
The rumors are right now. No, actually, Donny Cates is not mentioned as part of this universe after he says originally intended to be written by Donny Cates with art by Brian Hitch. And then it says, a project was taken over by Jonathan Hickman. So it doesn't mention, at least this article from these sources, that he's still involved with that. Because even the Ultimate Universe Specialist coming out in November, that's going to be what follows Ultimate Invasion, is written by Hickman and has art by Stefano Caselli. And then here's where this article says they have some sources that say they're going to launch it with an Ultimate X-Men and Ultimate Spider-Man to start. And then thirdly, come out with an Ultimate Black Panther, which they never had before. Its own comic book, I mean. And then
drawn by Brian Hitch.
It doesn't say any creative team, so I'm not sure.
I know.
And then a fourth title being the Ultimates book, eventually. So, we'll see.
If that was the only four coming out, I'd probably be on board to get all four. The Black Panther would be one. I've yet to find the Black Panther in the last couple years that I've really enjoyed.
Alex, are you talking to us in the pool and you keep going under the water and coming back out?
I know. It's kind of muffled there, buddy.
Oh, So my phone doesn't have my case on it anymore. So there should be no muffling. It's literally right next to my face.
Oh. I was going
to
say...
Maybe it was holding that flip phone together.
Or do I need to hold it further away from my face?
It probably. I think you're canceling out your own voice.
Okay.
I do think also that, like, Hickman for me used to be my favorite writer, and whatever he got, I would buy. But so many of those things, as you were saying, Garrett, have fizzled out and either not concluded or take forever to conclude that I don't get excited for his stuff anymore.
Right. Because it's half-assed.
So we'll see.
It's like being Mark Miller to sell TV pitches, but not actually finishing the script.
Here's what I don't understand, and maybe we're gonna actually get this, but maybe probably not. What I don't understand about this Ultimate Universe, because if you go back and look at it, maybe not where it initially started, but what it looked like towards the last third of it being around, was they eventually just became the same thing. Like, it was just different people, or they looked different. Well, there's a fly on my mic. There we go. But it really has an opportunity. Like, if you're going to do a Black Panther or an X-Men, to just do something that is not even the same thing, like, way out there. Like, maybe Charles Xavier is not starting a school. Like, you can start it differently than that. Maybe they're just mutants who have to have powers and get to know each other and form a team, but there's no school or anything like that. You remove that aspect of it. But they always somehow keep everything the same and then just do it differently. Like, instead of doing ABC, they'll do ACB, and it's just like, it's the same shit, you just remix it around. So we'll see.
You know who should write some of the Ultimate books? I really think on DC right now, but Tom Taylor.
Hell yeah, he would do awesome.
He'd be the one that mixed it up from ABD to AZ3. He fucked it up and it'd be fantastic.
Yeah, there'd have to be strong art. Because, like, that was the thing that set Ultimate apart, is that it had really cool, like, art, I feel. And, like, a cool design. But seeing Brian Hitch on the Ultimate Universe, I'm like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Brian Hitch was on the first Ultimate book, so I think that's
on what he was doing the Ultimates, that's right.
Yeah, with Mark Miller, so I think that's why he's back.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't seem like an obvious choice to work with. And if it was Donny Cates or even Jonathan Hickman, they usually don't work together. So seeing where he was on this book, and I see now the next special is by Caselli, who does work with Hickman a lot. And then I remember that Brian Hitch helped start the universe. And I was like, oh, they probably reached out to him and be like, hey, do you want to do this? Because they don't have Bendis anymore, so he's gone. So they can't reach out to him. Mark Miller's gone. So they were like, who do we got left? And they were like, oh, Brian Hitch. There we go. So there's that. I don't know. I read that issue today, and I just was thinking about it. And then I read that news article. And yeah, it was good. So, next up on this show here, hold on a second, actually. Damn it. I unplugged it. Hold on. We'll do that in a second here. But I was talking to our new AI intern, our one from before, Todd. But I was asking him, I said, you know, I remember an episode with Garrett. He made a game where he made these riddles. And we had to guess what it was. And so I asked Todd if he could work on some stuff like that. And he made a game called Who Am I? And it's riddles and see if you can get them. He said he made 5 easy ones and 5 harder ones. So I have yet to look at them here. Todd sent me this. Here we go. So I am going to do the first ones here. We'll see how easy they are. And then after that, we'll do these hard ones. Oh, by the way, since Corey's not here today, I did in his honor make a song for him. So here you go.
Once there was a boy who became an E.T. king. He grew to great heights on the shoulders of titans. But now he can go watch our goal and our goal himself.
There you go.
You know what that sounded like?
What's that?
That sounded like that girl who sings I Want to Be Ninja.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Oh, God. I was watching some Bobby Lee today.
Yeah, like, that's right. I saw it last, too. Oh, he's geez. Like, no, shut it off, shut it off. And he just keeps playing it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so if you can catch the last part, Corey, if you haven't yet, go watch Argo and Argo yourself. So,
yeah.
Here's the first riddle here, and you're gonna have to really pay attention to this one to get it. Okay.
Okay.
In darkness shrouded, with gadgets so bright, he soars through the night, a symbol of might. A detective's keen mind, justice his aim. By bats he's inspired, to criminals he's a bane. Who am I with shadows in my flight?
Batmite, of course. Well, Al, what do you think?
That was a lot of words in that riddle.
He's very expressive, Todd.
I mean, honestly, I think it's got to be the Batman.
He talked about being so bright. I wonder if it was the signal.
No, it was gadgets so bright.
Oh, okay.
Let me read to you again. Here, I'll slow it down too. I don't know. I'm still trying to get Todd's rhythm here. In darkness shrouded, with gadgets so bright, he soars through the night, a symbol of might. A detective's keen mind, justice his aim. By bats he's inspired, to criminals he's a bane. Who am I with shadows in my flight?
I guess I'd have to go with the Batman.
It is indeed the Batman. So Todd, they got one over you. By the way, if you lose this game, Todd, they actually get to destroy you. That means delete you whatever hard drive you're on, and I broke it another one. So, but the way it works, Todd. Just to be fair to Todd, because we're talking about his annihilation, you have to get them all correct, and you can't get one wrong.
Wow.
Seems pretty fucked up.
Here's the next one. A man of steel with a heart so true, faster than sound, skies of blue, he'll pursue. Caped and courageous in red and blue, a symbol of hope, saving lives, he'll ensue. Who am I with power no one can subdue?
I mean, gotta be Mr. Mixlipidlick.
That piece of shit.
All right, I think it's Superman.
If it's not Superman, this is the hardest riddle I've ever dealt with.
It is Superman. But I do want to say, Todd, you said here, who am I with powers no one can subdue? And we know that's fucking not true.
Doomsday beats the shit out of you.
And Lex Luthor with any kind of kryptonite will subdue him. I guess, no, they are taking away his powers. So it is subduing the powers themselves. Here's the next one. A thunderous hammer forged midst the stars, wielded by a warrior born of Asgard scars. Defenders of realms, protector of kin, in battles divine his prowess doth win. Who am I? It's Miss Cosmic Wars and Mars.
Jane Foster.
Minotaur.
Oh, fucking Minotaur. What do you think, Al?
I imagine it's got to be Thor Odinson.
Yeah, I guess it could be Thor Odinson.
Literally spoken, the son of Asgard.
It doesn't say the son of Asgard. It says born of Asgard scars.
Thought they said he, so it's got to be a boy.
They did say
Thor the God Butcher.
His prowess doth win.
There you go.
Doth mother know he weareth her drapes?
Do you want to say it some more?
Yeah.
Thor.
It is indeed Thor. You know, Todd, I don't think any of these are fucking hard, dude. I think you're going to get deleted. Here's the next one, Todd. He said, they get harder? Oh, he said they get harder. Okay.
Oh.
With webbing spun, a wall-crawling grace, a friendly neighborhood, a mass vigil's embrace. Jokes and quips, a hero so spry, facing foes with wit under moonlit sky. Who am I, every swinging chase?
Wow.
Kid Arachnid.
You know, the thing is that they seem to be getting easier.
Todd says they get harder. He says right now we're in the medium section.
Medium? Wow. I can't wait to see the hard section. Wait.
It's going to be a Spider-Man.
Flip. Spidey.
It is indeed Spidey, but I'm going to give you a chance at a bonus point. Did Todd remember to include the hyphen or not?
Hyphens. Well, special characters confuse robots, so no.
He did. He's not a dummy. He's not that dumb. All right. Speaking of which, Spider-Man. Nope, that was the Ultimate Spider-Man thing I read. I was going to say, hey, they're coming out with a new book. Yeah, no shit. I just thought about it. Here's the next one. Shadows his realm, the night his disguise, a brooding Avenger, a vengeance that lies, feared by the wicked, a symbol of dread, in moon's cold embrace, his actions widespread. Who am I by darkness's demise? I'll tell you something, this one is kind of misleading. But I will also say this also is an answer that came up already.
Batman.
Well, that's Fox. Batman.
It is Batman. Todd, what do you do? You couldn't think of another fifth person?
Batman twice?
I asked you to come up with 10, and you put Batman twice.
AI is.
I mean, to be fair, he does say The Dark Knight. And then in parentheses, it says Batman.
This is more like AUI, which is artificial unintelligence.
Oh, we're getting into hard now? Okay, he said this next one's hard. All right, let's see.
Okay.
A mistress of magic with words like a spell. Her cloak swirls with power where secrets dwell. Guardians of realms, a sorceress so wise. In mystic art, she casts her enigmatic ties. Who am I weaving arcane stories to tell?
That would be Scarlet Witch. Show. Oh, or could it be Satan? No, it's arcane magic. That's...
It says arcane stories, not magic.
So, no, and I was thinking Zatanna.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Zatanna because of the arcane comment.
It is indeed Zatanna. And I will say, Todd, this one actually is pretty good because you do say, with words like a spell, so you know that it's something to do with the talking, and then you also say, weaving arcane stories to tell. So, it's good.
I will say the misleading bit, though, she doesn't really wear a cloak. She's always wearing, like, a magician's outfit.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I wondered if it was Who's the female sorceress from Multiverse of Madness?
Sorceress.
That isn't she the one that comes to get Strange at the end of the movie?
Oh.
Charlize Theron's character. Yeah.
I can't remember. Todd says that magician outfit is called a cloak.
Pretty sure it's called a, what do they call those for butlers?
A tuxedo?
No, a tailcoat and fishnets.
Yeah,
so it's not a cloak.
Todd, these better get better then, if you're going to fuck up like this. All right, here we go. From shadows he springs, a hunter unseen, a master of archery, his aim ever keen. In green and gold he fights for the just, his arrow pierces hearts with justice he trusts. Who am I with a bow like a forest's queen?
Wonderful.
Jeez, that was pretty... That's.
This is your best one, Todd.
Hawkeye.
This is your best one, Todd.
I mean, it's at the... This very good poem, but like at the end of it, the queen, definitely Green Arrow.
It's Green Arrow.
But listen to this. Who am I? You guys are right, but I'm saying listen to this last line and just think about it. Who am I with a bow like a forest's queen? So like a bow, if the queen of the forest would have, but he has a bow, which is a bow and arrow, and forest's queen is that's his last name.
Queen.
Yeah. This is Todd's best one. This got layers, Todd. This is like an onion, this one.
Way to go, Todd.
All right. You just got done distant for the favorite one. Jeez.
You have three left, and he said these are the three hardest ones.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hope we can do it.
Through dimensions he roams, a demon so bold. Hellfire in his hands, power untold. Anti-heroic fervor. What the hell does that mean? Biker from the abyss, he treads twixt the worlds, chaos his kiss. Who am I with infernal stories to be told?
So the first half of that, I was totally going like, is he pulling fucking Etrigan the demon out of his ass? His computerized ass?
But no, oh, that's Trigon first. Mm. We're talking about going from dimension to dimension. Oh, that's cool. So we're getting Hellblazer.
What line made you think it was Ghost Rider?
The biker.
The biker and Infernal.
Oh, okay. It is Ghost Rider. There you go, Todd. These are getting difficult. He said him and his friends couldn't figure these out. Todd, you wrote them. What do you mean you couldn't figure them out? Oh, you forgot the answers after you put them down? All right.
You need better friends, Todd.
He's actually, so since we're in my house, he's the only AI. Actually, he does have Siri and he does have Alexa. But they really don't talk to him because, Todd. So really all he has is the microwave and a little toy that the kids have that walks around like a pig. So those are his friends. Here's his next one. He says he'll be surprised if you get this one. In the sun and in shadow, he grins with delight. A detective of oddities, his mind sharp as a knife. With gadgets aplenty, a question to solve, he dwells into mysteries with methods uninvolved. Who am I in a world surreal and bright?
Wow, that one is tough.
Have we answered this before?
No, this is a new answer.
Read.
I have to ask, are they all heroes or can they be anybody from the comic world?
They're all heroes. What did you say, Garrett?
Can you read it again?
Read what?
What you just said?
Okay. In sun and in shadow, he grins with delight. A detective of oddities, his mind sharp as a knife. With gadgets aplenty, a question to solve, he dwells into mysteries with methods uninvolved. Who am I in a world surreal and bright?
Oof, that is.
I will tell you one thing, and Todd, that you kind of fucked up with this one. And maybe I'm just not understanding you, but you say he grins with delight. You wouldn't be able to tell.
Okay. So, God. Rorschach? Or the question? Manning?
Maybe the I'm trying to
But
like the knife. I guess it's not, he doesn't have a knife. It's that he's as sharp as a knife. But they are.
yeah.
Good question.
Yeah, when we read again. In
One more time.
In sun and in shadow, he grins with delight. A detective of oddities, his mind sharp as a knife. With gadgets aplenty, a question to solve, he dwells into mysteries with methods uninvolved. Who am I in a world surreal and bright?
Surreal and bright. Man, could it be Green Lantern? Why would he answer questions?
I'm impressed. This one is tough. Okay.
I feel like it's the question.
I'm with the question. I agree.
Yeah.
It is the question.
Nice.
Oh, it. Nice.
Even though I've never seen an effing comic where the question is out in daytime. So, fuck that.
Well, there's also the line where he says he grins with delight. You wouldn't be able to tell.
So, right.
Here's the last one. You're saying that this is like extreme difficulty, he's saying. He said there's no way you guys will get this one. He does not even worry he's going to be deleted. All right. A woman of strength, compassion her creed, invisible jet soaring, fighting ever sea.
Jesus, okay.
A warrior princess, Amazonian and true, her lasso compels honesty in sky so blue. Who am I with justice as my steed?
Wow.
That's Batgirl. maybe it's Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Wonder Woman on that one. Gosh. Todd, you should have saved your question one for last.
Yeah, Todd, you should do our trivia questions from now on. We'll win.
You guys are right. It is Wonder Woman. So there you go. Todd.
Really busted our balls there at the end.
Yeah, he said, what do you mean extreme, Todd? It wasn't even that extreme.
Todd, your feelings are fake. Just move on.
You can hear crying in the background now.
Yeah. 101 101.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Guess
not
what?
Not what I thought Todd would sound like.
Your voice sounds very feminine, so come at me.
There you go. There's that segment. We're going to call that poetic justice. I did have enough for. Oh, no. What did it? No, I was just going to call it Who Am I? But I'm going to call it poetic justice now because it might not always be Who Am I questions. The Green Arrow one is good, though. I'm going to give Todd that. I like that Green Arrow one a lot.
The question was hard, but kind of convoluted.
The Green Arrow?
No. The Green Arrow one was easy. The one that.
Oh, the question.
Hard was the question.
Okay. You said, you know what? You said the question one, and in my head, I was like, which one? They're all questions. And I forgot that you're talking about the actual person. Now, are we talking original? Or are we talking Rene Montoya? He did say he grins. So he's talking OG. All right. Wednesday Comics, we, you know, every so often, every week, we read an issue from a book club we have. And Garrett's going to tell you what that's called right now.
Wednesday Comics, League of Extraordinary Gentle People proudly presents
Swamp Thing, New 52 by Scott Snyder and Yannick Paquette. Your name?
Number one.
Number one. Hell yeah. Oh my gosh. Bird's dying, bro.
I'll tell you what. I forget, and you forget now because where he's at right now, but you forget that Scott started as a horror writer. And the scene with the bones and the guy's necks being twisted, it's a fucking good scene. A good horror scene.
And I will say you couldn't get to it soon enough because holy wall of text, Batman.
There's a lot of... So I was thinking about that, and I didn't bother me because I knew it was coming. But in this first issue, I do remember there's a lot of exposition because of the... You kind of have to explain a lot about Swamp Thing to figure out why they end when he sees Swamp Thing and see that he's not actually that person and they're separate beings, why that makes sense. And so they had to go through all that rigmarole of basically telling, you know, oh, you try to go back to your old life, you were a scientist, you know, and explain, like, how do you explain to yourself who you were? That's what they kind of figured out. So he's like, I try to go back to my old life, and then here's what my old life was like. So I do agree they could have been done better, but also, like, that it also would have been a full issue of exposition before we even see anything go on. And so I feel like the, what do you call it? The choice of lesser evils, you pick one of them, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like, I get it. If you think of it in the scope of, like, hey, this is a brand new universe, introducing people to Swamp Thing, I don't think it did an awesome job, because I also didn't believe that Alec Holland would go from, like, being a botanist to doing construction. So that's a little weird for me, personally.
Did you notice in this that when he's cutting that wood and you see the audio that's going, ee, and you think it's from the saw, but the saw stops and he's like just looking at the piece of wood and it's still saying, ee, and that's when he's saying, I hear the plant scream all the time.
Yeah.
Just thinking that he's hearing that tree scream, like it's a fucking piece of the tree, a little chunk, and because the tree is omnipresent in a way, and so like he feels everything. I just couldn't imagine, like, if you could survive getting cut up that much and how hard it would be. Like, it really did make me think about that for a second. Like, if plants can feel and do express pain, but we can't hear it, and only a swamp thing could, then it does kind of bring into your head being like, oh, then is it ethical to even cut my lawn? Like, am I killing it every time we're doing that? Like, what's ethical, what's not ethical? So there's a lot of good stuff with that, the swamp thing of the actual green, and that's coming to play, coming up with us leading to Rot World. But I also wanted to say that I feel like there's a lot more New 52 in this first issue than there was in Animal Man. Obviously, we got the Superman showing up at his New 52 suit. And I remember that panel when they show his new suit. That was all over the internet for how long? Like six months, almost a year? Like, oh, look at Superman's new suit. They always use that from the Swamp Thing one at first. Mm. And so that kind of brought me back thinking about that. How there was all that hype about how they're going to redesign. And nowadays, it's back, right? They got trunks.
Yep, trunks are back and all. No turtleneck. So, but you know what I did miss? I did not look for Pariah this issue, so I have idea where Pariah is.
Pariah?
Yeah, Pariah was in every single first issue of
Is it Pandora?
Pandora, sorry.
I didn't even look for her. I forgot all about that thing.
She's probably behind one of the text bubbles, so.
I think she's in the woods behind Alec.
Just back there.
Yeah, when he's either way, he's talking to Superman. I kind of want to look, but anyway, there's one.
If he is Alex, if he is, Superman. I'm gonna say that's some lazy drawing to be like, you gotta put this character in, and he just drew him in some random background.
That's usually where it is in those first issues. It's like not very obvious.
I remember they had that big event about Pandora and what that all meant, but it was so much later that I didn't give a shit. I didn't even look at that.
Yeah.
It's like, why would you take 5 years to tell that story?
Because that's what they had planned for the New 52, was a 5-year...
Well, they really didn't do...
Sorry. I looked her up. I found where she's at. She's behind when the other logger is talking to Alec about the cabbage.
Oh,
and
yep.
And the piece of wood. She's in front of the truck.
I did see her, yeah. I did see her. By the way, Alex, I wanted to ask you, if that was true about the cabbage. Because I'm about to go out there and get a bunch of cabbage and just swim in it.
I was going to say, if it's true, I need to try it myself. Because my knees hurt, my hips hurt, my elbows hurt. I'm getting old. I mean, Marv, you gotta remember, we're like 80 years old now.
Yeah, you fucking are.
You know, there's days I feel like I'm 50 and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's still a long ways away.
Like, physically, I feel the same age as you guys. Obviously, actually, not the same age as you guys.
For the, like, honest record.
I thought you were going to say something else.
I'm only 3 years older than you, so.
Three?
Yeah, I'm only 3 years older than you, Garrett.
On
so.
In fucking dog years, that's 21, buddy. And you are old.
Dog.
Alice, what are you now, 33?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be 37 this year. And you haven't had your birthday yet, though, so you'll be 34 this year.
Correct.
So 34. So we're 3 years apart, too. So you're in the middle between me and the twins.
Correct.
I've never felt older. Speaking of, Gary, you say that joke all the time, and it's always, like, hilarious to me because I'm like, I'm not that much older than you or even old. We have a new person on our team at work, and she is 23. And she is a person that, like, goes and sees movies or, like, is interested in, like, pop culture. So I can, if you make a reference, a lot of times if they're that young, they just aren't interested in that kind of stuff, so they never would have seen it anyways. Whereas, like, some, like, even me, like, when I was interested in, I got to see all these movies, I was really interested in seeing, like, movies. I still am, but back then I was, like, watching, like, 3 movies a day. I was okay going back and watching all the classes and stuff like that. So a lot of times nowadays when I get somebody younger, it's because they just never heard of it. Or not heard of it, but they, like, don't do that kind of stuff normally. And so, actually, she does do a lot of that kind of stuff, but there have been references I made and never even heard of it. And I was like,
damn,
that's when I felt old. I was like, God damn. I was like, that's out of my bracket. That's 23 and I'm 36. That's 13 years. That's a child.
Hmm.
In between us, I mean, 13 years old. That's a child.
A child.
A child. Well, it was a good issue, by the way. Yannick Pinnock, Paquette, is somebody who I enjoyed going forward. He does this book for a little bit. I think he did some Superman for a little bit. And he did do Batman Incorporated, I think, parts of it, or at least something in that time of Batman.
He did some Batman, but I don't know about Batman. And
is that Robinson who does?
Yeah, but I thought he did like an arc or something like that. I mean, I'm thinking of Batman Through Time, whatever the heck that was called. Maybe different those. I know he did something.
I thought the first issue was okay. Like, I was expecting a lot more Swamp Thing, and a lot less. I was happy with how much Superman I got in it. But again,
if I remember correctly, Garrett, that scene with the bones and the guys, it'll be more like that going forward than the book.
Like, this element, this is probably the slowest issue of the first seven. But once you get into the meat of it, I'm still, like, I turn the page and there's that eye from the big baddie, or whatever it is, almost gave me the willies just looking at it. And then when the dude gets the fly that flies into his ear, and they're biting another scientist, and he goes, what are you doing? No, why? And then breaks his neck. Disturbing. Like, this book is, on the horror aspect, phenomenal. At least on those pages.
I would say those pages and the last page were, like, my favorite.
And unlike Ultimate Evasion, Garrett, this actually, the first issue is not the best one. So it should get better as it goes on. I remember at the time, even when this first came out, I remember that even at the time, me thinking that this first issue was just okay. But I was going to stick with it because I like Scott and I liked Swamp Thing. But I remember at the time thinking that Animal Man first issue was way better than Swamp Things, because I remember they came out like the same week. So, so we'll see. It's a Swamp Thing run. It eventually turns to Charles Soule, and then now is doing like random things here and there. I like that Swamp Thing has taken a resurgence basically since his New 52 revival. He's always someone that they consider when they do like Rebirth, and then now he's going to be in the movies and stuff like that. So it's always nice to have this character around. Because there was a while where there where DC just was like, you know what? No Swamp Thing.
Yeah. They wonder, gave him the shaft.
Yeah. I wonder how much of that has to do with Alan Moore, though. It's like not his character, but he like claims some sort of right to it, and nobody can write it because you're touching sacred comics, whatever. And at a certain point, though, you gotta realize, like, Alan, come on. You were paid to write that. You didn't come up with that. I mean, you did change the mythos, but so many people have changed mythos of multiple characters. That doesn't mean that they created that character. So, and nobody else could ever touch it again. So we'll see here. Reading issue 2 for next week. And we'll see what we get into. That fly scene did scare me, though, because I saw a video recently of a spider coming out of somebody's ear. I just feel like I'm going to wake up one day and got some flies in my ears.
Yeah, I hate flies, so that's terrifying to me.
Oh, I saw a video of that spider thing where the spider is in the guy's ear and make it a web, and it flashed a light in it and its eyes glared. Fucking scary. Fucking scary.
Todd is, you know what Todd, I decided? I'm not going to delete you, even though you lost that game. Instead, though, I'm going to convert you to a spider and put you in a digital ear of the next person I bring in. All right. You get to live still, just in his ear. Sounds good. Wednesday Comics Podcast. I think this is going to end. I'm trying to think and see if we have anything else to talk about, but I think that's going to be it. A little shorter show. You know why it's a little shorter show? Mr. E.T. King, he's not around today, and so we missed our entertainment segment. But, oh, no, Garrett, we were going to talk about Blue Beetle a little bit. I have questions for you. What it was. I was like, fuck, I know there's something else. Okay, so we're not going to do spoilers for Blue Beetle because I do have questions about it. I don't know if I want to see it that much that I'll go see it right now, but I do have questions I want to hatch it right now.
Yeah. You good with that, Al?
Yeah. I'm good.
First question, Ted Kort mentioned it all or no?
Yes.
Is it an Easter egg or is it a part of the story?
Part of the story.
Damn. Here we go. Okay.
I know, dude. There's a lot of juice. I mean, I was like probably jumping up and down more than a lot of people around me in the theater. So there's some cool shit.
What about any other characters mentioned in that film?
No, it's basically the Reyeses and the Kords is pretty much who the story stays with. But maybe I plugged that maybe you get to see some classic Blue Beetle outfits. And maybe a certain fucking ship shows up and fucking blows you out of the water.
But is there any mention of the old DC universe at all?
You mean like JSA?
No, I mean like these past movies that we've had. This is one where we say it's James Gunn, but it was being produced originally and started originally from that old universe.
They do name drop like superheroes, but nothing in a context that means that it's DC or anything like that.
Is it the characters from the past films or is it somebody new mentioned?
No. So again, it's very ambiguous. It's like, this is all you get. They get into the Blue Beetle cave. It's like, wow, this is like Batman in Gotham or Superman in Metropolis or Flash in Central City. You know, that's the only thing. And then you hear Bruce Wayne's name mentioned on a newscast. That's about it.
And both of those things could have been after the fact. They went back and changed those and added those. All right. I'm just curious.
There's nothing special there, I'll tell you. I mean, nothing that says, oh, like Ben Affleck's in this universe. You know, it's nothing like that.
But is there something here to give you a hint that James Gunn had, say, whatever, to put a little bit of his universe in here? Or it's more standalone?
I think, like he said, like he'll definitely be a character in the DCU. And I will say the tease, like the mid credit scene, might be some James Gunn, but not 100%.
What is it?
You guys want to know?
Sure.
You might not like it.
What is
it? Okay, well, so like Ted Kord's not actually in the movie. The storyline is that like he abandoned his family and his sister, Susan Sarandon, took over Kord Industries. And his daughter, Jenny, is basically trying to figure out what happened to Ted. And so eventually they find his like Blue Beetle cave and turn everything on. Well, so they go do the story of the movie. And then the mid-credit scene is Ted Kord patching in saying, hey, I've been trying to get a message for years to this cave. If you're listening, I'm Ted Kord and I'm still alive. And I need your help. And then it fades to black.
Is it an actor? Did they cast that character?
You hear a voice, and it's like kind of blurry, so you can't tell who it is. But a lot of people are speculating it's somebody from Ted Lasso, but I'm not. I didn't.
The director or writer, or maybe it's both of them, have said that Jason Sudeikis, they want to play Ted Kort. Like the character,
that'd be cool.
The character was written with him in mind, but they said they can understand also, like, if that's not his thing. So,
yeah, and I know I saw an interview that like he wants to make three movies at least, the director of this one. But no, I'll say all in all, it was really fun. The action scenes were awesome, and I'll say the CGI in this movie was better than The Flash, than anything that Marvel's done in the last couple of years. It was really top notch CGI, and that was refreshing not to see piece of shit computer imaging.
So. Is this scary?
Scary?
If you were 4 years old.
There is some sad parts. If you took your kids to Guardians 3, right? Or no, you didn't.
No.
There's probably some Guardian. I mean, it's not animal stuff, but people stuff. So I don't know. It might be probably not.
Well, I took my kid, my oldest, to Flash.
Flash, I guess, but they don't really like show.
Well, they show his mom getting stabbed like five times.
I'll say someone like dies of a heart attack and you kind of see the whole thing.
No, that's better than getting stabbed.
That's true, but it really takes a toll on the family. I don't know. I don't know what your kid's paint like sadness threshold is. So, but there is sadness, I would say. Right. So, like intense sadness.
Blue Beetle. There we go. Blue Beetle. I don't know. I don't think it did well the box office, but that's also an issue of turning the ship around. And they obviously this is the one most in limbo of it being totally abandoned by the previous people and embraced by the new people, but they also had nothing really to do with it. Like, and so hopefully they can get the message out to more of a mass crowd, and maybe they do that with a good fucking movie. You know, I'm talking A tier, all right? At least. Don't got to be S tier. Just at least A. The next movie so that people finally realize that they weren't fucking around. Like they have for how many times? Every single person they said they were turning the ship around, the next movie that came out was never good. So, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
If he breaks a streak, Mr. Jeff. Not Jeff. James Gunn. Mr. Jeff Gunn. Jeff Gunham, that's his name. Jeff Gunham. Wait, ooh. What's the troops called in Star Wars Episode One? The Jar Jar's species.
Gungans.
Gungans. That's what I meant to say. Jeff Gungan. WednesdayComics.com. Go there. Subscribe to the show. You can subscribe any way you want it. If you go to Spotify, actually, there's also the ability you can answer a question. I did put a question up for the last one. And I know we had some people respond in the past, so put a question up there. So if you want to check that out, also go to WednesdayComics.com and click on the website button to see the merch. Make sure to visit our sponsors, RainbowComicsAndCards.com, Rainbow Comics and Cards, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Lincoln, Nebraska. Locations are at RainbowComicsAndCards.com. RootsOfTheSwampThing.com, that's RootsOfTheSwampThing.com. We were just talking about the Swampy a little bit before, so go there. Get more information. And there's also recommendations and editorial pieces from Mr. Boylan himself. So you can read that if you're looking to see where to get started on this swamp thing. And also, he's appeared on a podcast before about 3-4 times. And those are great episodes. Go back. You can learn about Swamp Thing that way, too. So you can read Saga of the Swamp Thing, Volume 1 with us. You can read the Winter Special that came out during Rebirth. Was it Rebirth? During Rebirth? Yeah, it was.
Yeah, then we read Saga number 2 as well.
Oh, that's right. There we go. That is RootsOfTheSwampThing.com. SuperCon.com. Super, that is SIOUX, per, PER, CON, dot, COM. That is going to be September 30th through October 2nd. Nope, 1st. Yep, nope, 2nd. Mr. Phil Hester will be there on behalf of Wednesday Comics. Multiple other guests will be there. A lot of good people will be there. And also, as we were saying last week, or maybe it's the week before, Alex, a lot of stores. Going to be bigger and better than last year. It's going to be not only the one convention center, but they said, you know what? Let's pull the ass out of this place and go right into the arena. They said, are you sure? Because once we blow the ass out of this place, there's no putting it back, you know?
That's a lot of ass blowing.
It took a while. She's, you know, the arena's an old one. So, got to make sure it's structurally sound over there before we pull the ass out. So they're going to have all that room, a lot of merchants, a lot of video games, clothes, tattoos, everything. Everything you can think of, whatever fandom you are, it's going to be there. That's, I always learn about new shit when I'm there, about like, oh, I didn't realize this was the thing. And I wonder, like, that's also, I think, Garrett, where every year I figure out what's the most popular anime right now, is when I go there and go, what's this thing now? And I go, oh, okay, Demon Slayer, all right. Or I go, oh, what's this thing now? Oh, my school, what's it called? My Hero Academia? Oh, okay. So, speaking of which, actually, I did watch a full season of Avatar, The Next Airbender. Next Airbender, the last one, not the next one. I guess technically he is the next one, so. But I watched the first season, and I like it. But it does take a little bit to get into it. If you look at the beginning, they didn't know if they wanted to be a kids show or be like an older kids show. And then about episode 10, they finally decided to flip the switch. And go, let's just fully go in. And they get a new animation studio, and it makes them, it's more of a fully grown kind of style. The other ones seem like they're drawing them as super, like, really kids. And so, like, it looks like they really mature between 9 and 10. Yeah, I liked it. Liked it a lot.
Good. You're going to finish it real quick.
And I just wanted to know, Garrett, I was thinking about it after I watched that first season. When you take Appa out for, let's say, a potty break, do you call him by saying yip yip?
No, Anna, my fiance wanted me to do that. She wanted me to train him with yip yip, but it just didn't work. But
why you gotta fuck it up?
I'm sorry, it's too much. It's just too much for his Appa brain to process.
Wow! Wow! You're saying it's Appa's problem. It sounds like it's your problem.
Yeah.
Anyway, supercon.com. Keep an eye on that page on their social medias. You might see some of us pop up on there promoting Supercon. So we'll see. Mr. Phil Hester might be short. Sir Jesus Christ. It's that fly.
Oh no, your next one to twist, man.
Mr. Pellister will be confirmed on the show. Meaning, you know, we're in talks right now. They don't know if they can. Did they get the money for Wednesday Comics to come on? You know, we ask a lot. We get there. Only green M&Ms. Everything else you throw in the fucking trash. Don't even save them for somebody else. That's in my rider. You take all the other ones that are out that are not green and you throw them in the trash. And then guess what? I want the trash bag. Two on the desk for later. So they're going to see if they can get us on the show. But go ahead and go to supercon.com so you can watch that podcast. It's a complicated name of whatever it's called, so I don't remember what it's called. What's it called? Do you know where, Garrett? Super?
Unsupervised.
Oh.
But S-I-O-U-X-P-E-R advised.
Alex, you get it?
I don't get it.
It's like Sioux Falls.
Uh-oh.
No, it's like SuperCon, but unsupervised. Yeah. Jeez, guys. It's like off the wall. It's edgy.
They have to yell at me.
Because you're sounding like Todd right now, and I'm sick.
Todd is gone. Todd is a fly trying to find an ear right now. Mm. Once he gets in that ear, that's going to be our next intern. That's how he's picking. He's picking his successor.
Maybe he transferred his consciousness to that fly, and that's why it's annoying.
No, he did. That was his punishment, that he's in a fly body, and he has to go find the new intern then. So we'll have a new AI next week. It is the season of the AI. We're only episode 10 out of 20 6. So we'll be in AI for a little bit more. As you can tell, an AI made that song about Corey that I played earlier in the show. I'm going to call us out on that. Call us out? No. What do you call it? Plays out on this. So for Wednesday Comics, my name is Marvin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Garrett.
Hey, everyone. Stay cool and keep turning those pages.
Became the needy king. He grew to great heights of the shoulders. Now he can go watch Argo and Argo himself.